Would you agree that life is tough? Sometimes so many things hit you all at once, you begin to despair. And some of you, if the truth be known, feel pretty hopeless this morning. Maybe you feel hopeless about a marriage situation and you think it's just not going to get any better. Maybe you feel hopeless about the thought of ever getting married. Some of you feel hopeless about ever having a child, while many of you feel hopeless about the one you do have. You may feel hopeless about a financial situation, about an illness. Maybe you feel hopeless that you are in a situation that you think is never going to change. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13 tell us the reason for hope. In the past, you were without hope, and you had no part in the promises that God made to his people. You had no hope, and you didn't know God. But now you are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians tells us the reason why we can restore our hope when we feel like there is no hope. And the fact is that if you have put your trust in Christ, you can always be hopeful. And today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. This is an incredible chapter. It lists six promises that we have to keep our hope up. It gives us six benefits of being a believer, or six statements of hope. Here we're going to see what God has done for us. In Christ, I can always be hopeful because his pardon erases my guilt, his power breaks my bad habits, and because his purpose transforms my problems. Now let's look at the first one. Because his pardon erases my guilt. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is no condemnation awaiting those who belong to Christ Jesus. The word no in Greek is the strongest negative that you can get in that language. And it means no, no, no. No way, Jose. Not in a million years. You can bet your life on it. Forget it. It's not going to happen. No. It means you can live a guilt-free life without condemnation. Is that good news? You bet. It is good news because the number one cause of hopelessness is hidden guilt and hidden shame. I remember watching a Columbo movie a long time ago, and Johnny Cash was the bad guy. And in the end, he gets caught and he says, thank God I got caught because the guilt was killing me. You see, whenever you violate your conscience, it figures out a way to get even. The more guilt you carry, the more hopeless you become. But you don't have to be that way. Look at this verse, Hebrews 7 and verse 19. Now we have a far better hope, for Christ makes us acceptable to God, and we may draw near to him. That means you don't have to be afraid of God once you put your trust in Christ. And perhaps you're thinking, what happens after I become a Christian and I sin? You need to understand that God does not reject you. He does not scold you and say you're no longer part of the family. Why? because your sin has already been paid for by Jesus on the cross. And a sin does not have to be paid for twice. Is that good news? It is, of course. But not only does God take care of your past, he takes care of the present. So number two, his power breaks my bad habits. I don't have to be controlled by anything. Have you ever heard somebody say, my life is out of control? Or I can't seem to get things together? Every time everything keeps falling apart? Or perhaps you know someone like this, or maybe it's you. And you think, by the time I make ends meet, somebody moves the ends. Or perhaps you're frustrated with yourself because you never seem to be able to change. You know what's right. You even want to do what's right. But you just don't seem to have the power to do it. Have you ever felt that way? Sure you have. And you say, I know this habit is bad for me, but I still do it. I just can't seem to let it go. I don't have the power to change. And that's why you need Jesus Christ, because he gives you the power you don't have. Jesus Christ is the answer to both when your life is out of control and when you can't change. Notice this verse from Romans 8 and verse 2. For the power of the life-giving Spirit, and this power is mine through Christ Jesus, has freed me from the vicious cycle of sin and death. Sin is a vicious cycle. What does that mean? It means I'm tempted, I fall for it, and I'm guilty. I'm tempted, I fall for it, and I'm guilty. It's a vicious cycle. Paul says you don't have to stay in that cycle. God will give you the power to change. The amazing thing is that the more you yield control of your life to God, the freer you become. He sets you free from all those things that are controlling you. So the good news is that God's pardon erases my guilt and God's power breaks my bad habits. Now let's apply this to ourselves. If there was one thing you could change about yourself, what would that be? Let me tell you that there is hope. That thing can be changed through the power of Jesus Christ. Look at this verse, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. God's mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. God says, I'll give you the power to change. There's hope. He says, you think of the greatest thing that you would like to have done in your life, and I can top that. You just need to plug into his power. Number three, I can always be hopeful because his purpose transforms my problems. This means Jesus uses everything that happens in your life in a plan for good. Life is a series of problems, one after another. And you right now are in one of three situations. You're either just coming out of a problem, or you're in the middle of a problem, or you're headed for a new one. That's called life. Now, the most difficult kind of problems to understand are those that seem meaningless. You don't see a purpose in them. And you say, why is this happening to me? It's not fair. But when you can see a purpose behind a problem, when you can see a meaning, when you can see that there could be some kind of benefit that it gives you, there is a reason for hope. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, God has a purpose for every single problem you go through. No matter how big, no matter how small, He has a purpose for every single problem. And one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. This is a very important verse. So I want us to look at each phrase. First, I want you to notice what it does not say, because many people misunderstand this verse. It does not say that all things are good. Obviously, not everything in the world is good. Cancer is not good. Rape is not good. Bankruptcy is not good. This is not heaven, folks. Sure, God could take away all the sin in the world. And He could do that just by taking away our freedom to choose. He does give you the freedom to choose, and sometimes you make dumb decisions. Sometimes other people make them. And you are the innocent victim. Don't blame God for those problems that result from the will of man. So not all is good. It doesn't say that. It also doesn't say all things work out the way that I want them to. Obviously, not everything in the world works out the way that you would like it to. And it also does not say all things have a happy ending. That's not true either. There are some very sad endings to things in life. What does this verse say? Let's take it apart, phrase by phrase. First, it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And I want you to notice that phrase, we know. That means we have hope. We don't wish, we don't imagine, we don't desire, we don't guess. We have absolute confidence that what He's about to say is true. What do we know? We know that God causes all things to work together for good. There is a grand design behind it all. Listen, your life is not a result of fate. It's not some random chance. It doesn't just happen. And there's no such thing as bad luck or good luck. There's a grand design behind it all. And so there's a cause. It doesn't say that God causes evil. It says He causes things to work together for good. But you say, well, don't we make mistakes? Of course we make mistakes. But God doesn't make mistakes. God never makes mistakes. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, what is included in all things? Everything. Does that include illness? Yes. Does that include marriage problems? Yes. Does that include the loss of a loved one? Yes. Does that include divorce? Yes. Does that include bankruptcy? Yes. Does that include an accident? Yes. Does that include my mistakes? Yes. All things God fits it all together. Notice, God causes all things to work together for good. Now, notice the phrase work together. Not separately, but together. God causes all things to work together for good. But you need to see your life from God's viewpoint. Can God bring good out of evil? Yes. Think about the crucifixion. Did any good come out of that? Just the salvation of the world. It was evil that caused men to nail Jesus to the cross, to torture him, to stab his side, to do all that they did. It was evil. But God brought good out of evil. And let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 1, there is the genealogy of Jesus, his family tree. In Hebrew culture, they always trace the genealogy through the male, through the man. In the genealogy of Jesus, it starts with Adam and it goes all the way to Jesus. And it reads like this. This guy had this son, and this guy had this son, and this guy had this son, and so on. Now, if you ever find you can't sleep at night, I suggest you get up and read Matthew chapter 1. It's just a bunch of names. But in that bunch, all of a sudden, in this Hebrew Jewish genealogy, which is supposed to be male only, four women pop up in the line of Christ. And each of these women have a painful story to tell. Every one of them had a hurt. Yet God used that hurt in their lives, resulting in the end, in ending in the birth of the Messiah. The first woman listed in Matthew 1 is Tamar. She had two husbands that both died. And then her father-in-law seduced her. She became pregnant and had a baby through her father-in-law. You think that's not too good? No, it's not. But she ends up in the lineage of Jesus. The second woman mentioned is Rahab. She was a prostitute. She was a streetwalker. And she's in the lineage of Jesus. The third woman mentioned is Ruth, who wasn't even Jewish. She was a Moabite. And she married a Jewish man illegally. And the fourth woman mentioned is Bathsheba. We all know about her story. She had an affair with David. God used all these and all our mistakes, our hurts, and the things we feel most shameful about. And in Romans 8 and verse 28, he works it together for good in our lives. Now, this is not a promise to everyone. Notice God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And that means it's only for those who've given their life to Christ. All things do not work together for good for everybody in the world, but they work together for good for anybody who comes and says, God, here are all the pieces to the puzzle of my life. Here's the good, here's the bad, here's the ugly. Here's the part that I'm most ashamed of. We give all the pieces to God and he works good in that. Do you think that there is any reason to be hopeful in that? Of course there is. No wonder Christians can be hopeful. And look at Jeremiah 29 verse 11. God says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I'll give you hope and a good future. Now, if we just stopped there and said, God's pardon erases my guilt, and Christ's power breaks my bad habits, and his purpose transforms my problems, That's enough to be hopeful for. But there's so much more. We're only halfway. He says there are three other things that you get as benefits when you give your life to Christ. So number four, because his protection relieves my fears. Fear is another cause of hopelessness. It is a very damaging, destructive emotion. And psychologists have identified 645 different types of fear, and under each of those types there are hundreds of others listed. And when you are full of fear, you cannot be full of hope. What is your greatest fear? Is it the fear of criticism? Is it the fear of being rejected? Is it the fear of being lonely all your life? Is it the fear of failure? Is it the fear of death? Is it the fear that somebody might see you shopping in an opportunity shop? I don't mean the mustard tree, that's okay. He says, I want you to get the point. So he gives us, in the Bible it says, what, 365 times in the Bible it says for us to fear not. And he says, I want you to get the point. So I'll say it one time for every day of the year. 365 times, don't be afraid. Why? Because his power, his protection relieves my fear. He says, I will protect you. And Romans 8:31, so what shall we say about this? If God is for us, no one can defeat us. Notice the phrase, for us. If you're a Christian, God is not only with you all the time, but he's for you. Does that relieve a few fears? I mean, if God is on your side, you can take on the world. You may lose a few battles here and there, but ultimately you win. His protection relieves my fears. God has promised to help you. Number five, I never need to be worried. I never need to be hopeless because his provision supplies my needs. The fact is that God has promised to meet every single need in your life if you will trust him. He will meet your emotional needs. He will meet your physical needs. He will meet your spiritual needs. He'll meet your mental needs. He'll meet your relational needs. He will meet your social needs and whatever other needs you may have. And look at this verse, Romans 8 and verse 32. Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also surely give us everything else? If God loves me enough to send Christ to die for me, it stands to reason that he also cares enough to take care of all my other needs. And here is another great verse, Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God wants to bless your life. Philippians 4:19, God will use his wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to give you everything you need. God says, all right, let's see who can best meet your needs, you or me. You get to choose. And he says, if you trust me, I'll meet all your needs. If you trust yourself, then I don't promise to meet all your needs. I want you to learn to trust me. And if you don't believe that verse where it says, my God will supply all your needs, then you just ought to cut it out of your Bible. Because if what it says is true, I promise to meet all of your needs, then you have nothing to worry about. And number six, Romans 8 gives us one last reason why we should never be hopeless. God's promise secures my future. Listen to this verse, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, what a verse. Nothing will ever stop God from loving you once you've put your life into Christ's hands. And if you have become a part of his family, you cannot lose that relationship. He says, I will always be with you. I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. And once you put your hand in Christ's hand, he is never going to let it go. There are times in life when after you have put your hand in Christ and you have said yes to Jesus, that you may want to pull back. You may want to let go. But he won't. Paul says it like this, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. He keeps that which I have committed to him against that day. I just do the committing, and once I've made that commitment, he keeps it. It's not my job to keep myself saved. That is God's job. So you can relax. How is that for hope? You might lose all kinds of other things, but you are never going to lose your salvation. Your hope is secure. And Jude says it like this in verse 24, he's able to keep you from falling, not failing. Do Christians fail? Yes. Do Christians sin? Yes. Do Christians make mistakes? Yes. Do we stumble and fall on our face? Yes. He's able to keep you from falling away. Look at Lamentations 3 verse 22. It says this, I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop. Not only does it never end here on earth, but it just keeps on going into eternity. We've been guaranteed by Jesus that if we die before he comes back, we are going straight to heaven. Otherwise, he's coming back at some point. In fact, Jesus said it like this in John 14 and verse 3. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, and if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that where I am, you may be there also. How did he go? Or did he go? Yes. It's called the ascension. And he went back to heaven. And is he coming back? You bet he is. You say, when is it going to happen? Well, nobody knows the day. Jesus said it himself. No man knows the day, nor the hour, neither the angels, nor the Son, but only the Father which is in heaven. The Bible says no man knows the day. But it does say three times in Matthew chapter 25, be ready, be ready, be ready. Our response. Since we have a hope in Jesus Christ and we have these six great promises of God, how should we live? What should be our response? Notice these two verses, Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. In other words, live like you have hope. You're not under condemnation or domination or limitation or desperation or separation. It's a life without limits. Live that way. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, he says, not only live that way, but share it. Always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope that you have. When you have hope, you know it and you want to share it. Now, here's the offer Jesus Christ makes to you. He offers you a life without condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means all is forgiven. His power sets you free. All things work together for good, so I don't have to despair. A life without intimidation. If God is for us, who can be against us? A life without limitation, my God shall supply all your needs. And a life without separation, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. That is an offer you cannot refuse. And if you give your life to Jesus, what do you lose? A lot. Guilt, shame, worry, bitterness, depression, hell, and a few other things that you can afford to lose. What do you gain? Everything. It's the greatest news in the whole world. Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, we come before you with heavy hearts. We ask for your help. We confess we often lack hope and we cannot face the obstacles before us. Some of us feel that we're at the end of our rope and we need you to carry us and restore our faith and hope. Lord, give us the strength we need to survive and to carry on your will. We acknowledge that this is not something we can do without you, for we know that you have already paid the ultimate price to carry all our burdens. Without you, we're nothing. Lord, grant us your eternal hope. And for this we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.